So the first part of our Bible readings is from 1 Kings 19, 1 to 8. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. In a verse from Psalm 4, verse 8, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." And then Lamentations 3, 21 to 23. "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness."
While you take your seat, you have permission to fall asleep today. Because today is all about sleep. So if I hear snores, I encourage it. It will be a sign you've paid attention and taking in what God has said to you. Or I'm just really boring today because I start holidays tomorrow and I can't put my thoughts together. But let's pray as we begin and quiet ourselves before we hear from our God this morning. Holy Spirit, would you take these words of life and truth that we hear with our ears and move them deep within to our hearts, minds, and souls so that we can live as your people. Amen. Today is the end of a three-week series we've been doing the last few weeks in December called Unhurried, as we just pause and reflect and just reset as God's people. Over the past 2 weeks, 2 Sundays, we've been reminded that the cross of Jesus is what saves us, it grounds us, it gives us life. And then from that position of being saved by God's grace, we then are formed by God's Holy Spirit as he uses these slow inputs of word and prayer and habits to form and shape us into the people that God wants us to be. And I reckon, if you are here today and you know and love Jesus, I guarantee that at some point in your life, you have said, "I am going to do this. I'm going to grow my faith in this way in the next coming days or week or season of life." And I also reckon there is one factor that has played havoc to your good intentions as a Jesus follower. And I reckon that's sleep. 2 out of 5 of you in this room today will find it very hard to get to sleep tonight. A friend of mine that has chronic fatigue told me, "I know how to sleep. I'm pretty good at it, actually, except sometimes my body does not always cooperate." And for all the good sleep does, sometimes we just can't do it. In a fallen, broken world, sleep can be hard. And in fact, a bad night's sleep makes the whole day harder, does it not? You could be sick and not sleep well. Your kids will get up at all funny times of the night. You might have restless legs or the sleep apnea machine just fell off your face. you stayed up late with that extra Netflix show, or you're just mulling over those conversations. I wonder, when you go to bed, are you someone who processes the day from start to finish and lies there until it's done, neatly put away in boxes, or do you just fall asleep and see what happens? But there are not millions of things, aren't there, that stop a good night's sleep. And so let's pause and consider sleep today. Because sleep is actually part of God's common grace to us as humans. It's God's quiet, healing care for our bodies. And in fact, the word sleep comes from the idea of slacking and being still. Like, it's rest through release. Our muscles loosen, everything ceases, our alertness fades, and then we sleep. Which means sleep plays an important role in our spiritual and physical health. Theologian Don Carson, who you may have heard of, once said that sometimes the godliest thing you can do in the whole universe is to get a good night's sleep. And today, I cannot give you a divine sleeping pill. I don't have any. I wish I did. But I can help you see that the Christian faith is good news for our sleep. Because, as Natasha has alluded to in the All Ages, we get to sleep knowing that someone greater than us is awake. Someone greater than us is always at work. He's going to keep things going. He loves you to bits. And he's never going to sleep. And that is our loving Heavenly Father. And so sometimes just knowing God's presence actually makes all the difference to our life. So let's do a bit of a sleep sweep across the Bible this morning. And we're going to begin with some Psalms. We're going to look at this funny moment in the life of Elijah and then offer some next steps for sleep and spiritual health today. So let's look at some Psalms, and we'll begin in this one. It says, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." The issue in this psalm is that we might not stop to receive sleep as a good gift from a loving God because we get too busy working. Late nights, early mornings, too many things in our brains, too many jobs on our to-do list. Ecclesiastes verses chapter 8, pushes into this a bit more, and it says, if you're well off, you may find it harder to sleep because when you sleep, you might be anxious about everything being stolen or lost or damaged or gone when you wake up. In fact, 42% of Australians are anxious about that very thing. Maintaining a certain lifestyle means it can put pressure on you and you sacrifice sleep to work your second job. Japan is wrestling with what they call the 996 culture. Do you know what that is? 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week. That's their work week. People fall asleep on the trains and on the floor with their work clothes on, suitcases everywhere because they're just so exhausted. In the New Testament, Jesus in Matthew 6 speaks into a lot of things that can actually keep you awake at night. But actually, sleep is not failing to be productive. It's receiving a good gift from God. And sometimes we get too busy living like we are God. Sleep reminds us that God is sovereign and in control. He never is asleep at the wheel or feels drowsy. Indeed, the other verse, "He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." God does not need 3 cups of coffee to get going in the morning or Red Bulls in the afternoon to stay alert. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus says that God governs the world when you sleep, like making seeds grow in the ground. You sleep, farmer, and God's still doing his thing. You see, our need for sleep is a daily reminder of humility and also our humanity. You are not made to run at 100% all the time. And sleep is the reminder that God is in charge and you are not. Which means, at a basic level, God loves you, God is in control, and you don't need to be busying yourself for his approval. He's looking after you. You can let go and sleep and trust God as you do. And that has benefits for your physical, mental, and spiritual health. So yes, we work hard and diligently, but we trust God with our work and with our sleep. Another challenge to sleep, of course, might be fear. In Genesis 15, Abraham has a terrible nightmare that keeps him awake. He can't sleep. He wakes up afraid. If you're a parent or have had kids, you will know that often children may wake up with a scary dream. And as we get older, that just morphs and we end up recalling pain from our past. Or we can't sleep because of things on our mind and it's fearful. Over in Psalm 3, we meet David in a similar moment in his life. He's in a threatening time of his life. In verse 1 of Psalm 3, he says, "How many are my foes?" And then in verse 6, 10,000 are assailing me on every side. This is David at this moment in his life, running from Saul, hiding in a cave. And I'd imagine if that's you, if you're under threat, falling asleep is not at the top of your to-do list. It will be staying alive and then staying alive. And sleep is not probably going to be up there. But look at what he says in verse 5 of Psalm 3. With all that going on, he says, "I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me." As he's in this cave, in verse 4, David begins to orientate his life and his situation to God, and he's reminded of God's nature. He knows these threats are real. You know, the deadline is still coming tomorrow. There is uncertainty, but God's presence is more powerful than his fears, and the Lord sustains him so he can sleep and wake up sharp, alert, trusting God. And that's what sustain means. It's security and support. You know, because of Jesus, you have the guarantee that your big, never sleeping God is watching over you, and you can leave it with him for the night. And when you have dreams in the night, you can hand them over to your loving, present God as you wake. These few psalms on sleep have a theme of reminding us about God's ever awakeness and ongoing care of us. So the question is, how can we enjoy God's gift of sleep? And to do that, we'll look at a story in the life of Elijah in 1 Kings. Elijah has confronted the false prophets of Baal. You may remember on Mount Carmel, there had been a drought for 3 years and they called down fire. Whoever's God could call down fire would win and show that they are the true God. And at one point in the story, Elijah says, "Maybe your God is asleep." And God shows up and proves that he is Lord of heaven and earth. But this was 24 hours ago, right? Like 1 Kings 19, that's all in the past. And now the queen of the day has put a death warrant out for Elijah. And this once bold, determined prophet is now shriveled up with fear. And he's absolutely depressed. You get a sense of his inner turmoil in verse 10 because he catastrophizes his life by saying, "Everyone's rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Like, there's truth in that, right? But it's not completely true. And then in verse 3, a bit earlier on, he runs away from all his support systems and friends, and he goes in the wilderness. He's distancing himself from everyone. He's alone. He's not making wise decisions. And he's even at a point where he just wants his life to be over. And finally, after all of this, just from sheer exhaustion in verse 5, he just falls asleep under the bush. Now notice here what God does. He shows Elijah mercy. God lets him sleep. God meets him through the angel of the Lord in verse 6. He looked around and there was by his head some bread, and he ate and he drank and he lay down and slept again. If you look at what happened to Elijah, there's some very simple things. He prayed, he slept, he ate, and God was present. And this reorientation of Elijah, his mind and his body to God, kept him going so he could continue on. This is a brief moment in Elijah's life, but an important one, because those physical things matter as a human. Talking to God honestly is important. He told God exactly how he felt, everything going on. He didn't beat around the bush or hide anything. But did you notice what God said to him in this time? Nothing. Sometimes we so long for God to answer us that we can't see that God's silence isn't his absence, but his care. As in, God knew Elijah was physically and mentally done, over, exhausted, and what he needed was to sleep and some food and some rest. And there's very simple God-given gifts. Let his body and mind rest. This is because the kindest thing that God could do was to hear him pray, to watch him sleep, give him some food, not give him a lecture and correct him. This is the picture of a present God in all our brokenness, in all our painful moments, in all of life, who's interested in our whole mind, body, and self. So what's the lesson from this moment in Elijah's life? Well, when you're done after your day, and when you've had enough, when you are tired and exhausted and your life is not going to plan, do you know looking after your body and mind through prayer and food and rest is God's given way to keep going? Stewarding our body is important. They belong to Christ. He's redeemed your body. The Spirit of God has decided to make his home in your body, and you are to glorify God with and in your body. It is not unspiritual to think about health or diet or rest or exercise. Learn a lesson from Robert Murray McShaney. He was a preacher in Scotland, turn of the century. He died just before he turned 30. He didn't die from any of the typical illnesses of that day, but he died from overwork and exhaustion. He overworked himself to death. Here's what he said. The Lord gave me a horse to ride and a message to deliver. Alas, I have killed the horse and I cannot deliver the message. If he looked after his body more, he may have had many more years to preach Christ. He just worked himself literally to death. So let's summarize. God doesn't sleep, and that's comforting as we work and we labor. We've seen that sleep and spiritual habits and food are in fact a gift from God that refresh us as humans. But let me ask you this. Do you look forward to sleep? What if I could guarantee you tonight 9 hours solid sleep? Just imagine. Whatever it is that I give you, 9 hours sleep, would you look forward to that? Without any distractions, you would sleep, you would wake up, guaranteed, no kids, no nothing. What would I reckon everyone would say, yes, please. That would be so good. The joy of a good night's sleep, of waking up refreshed the next day. Did you know this is an image that Jesus uses to describe what happens to those who trust him when we die? To Jesus, believers, the death of a believer is like sleep, and the resurrection is just like waking up. In fact, in John 11, Jesus says of Lazarus, his dear friend, Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go and wake him up. Now, at the time, his followers thought he meant napping, and Jesus is going to walk over and wake up. But as you read this story, Jesus makes it clear that he's talking about death. And just like we look forward to that good night's sleep, we can look forward to our resurrected body in the presence of Jesus on the other side of the sleep of death. A bit later, as Jesus goes on, he says to Mary, the sister of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? You know, Jesus did wake up Lazarus from death, but he brought him back to the same kind of life he had before, and then Lazarus died a second time. But Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he will never die again. He was the first to have this new resurrected kind of life, and he will give that life as one who's gone through death, refreshed and renewed to us, in a body perfectly fit to glorify God with. So sleep is a daily reminder that one day we will be made new. But until then, until we get to see Jesus face to face with no more weary eyes or sleep-deprived, you know, moaning and groaning, let us agree that we need to sleep physically, but we actually need to stay awake spiritually, to be alert and sharp. One of the images in the New Testament is being alert and awake as a Christian. In Colossians and Romans 13, Paul talks about being alert and awake, watchful in prayer, not sleeping, following Jesus with integrity, not drifting off. Taking this picture that God says, stay awake spiritually, but sleep daily for your physical health. Of course, good intentions, but what do you do when you wake up not as refreshed as you like? What happens when sleep escapes you? You have a bad night. Well, at that moment, you're still one of God's people, and God is still meeting your needs. Come and hear the end of Lamentations, and notice what God says. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Do you hear the phrase, his mercies are new every morning? Every time the sun rises, God's mercy is fresh and new. After a day of sin and weariness, stress, frustrations, we would sleep and then we wake up. But we're not just waking up to the smell of coffee or a to-do list, but we're waking up to the mercy of God coming at us once again. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity wrote about this and said, this is one of the problems we have as Christians. And he says this, the very moment you wake up every morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job every morning consists of simply shoving them all back and then listening to the other voice, taking the other view, letting the other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. And he's speaking, of course, about God. Your body may not be refreshed through sleep. You may wake up feeling very weary, but what do you know to be true? What do you need reminding of every morning? Your faithful God doesn't get weary. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Right now, for that day, God will supply you with all you need. He'll give you grace to go into all that happens. And his mercy might also be a conviction that you did stay up too late on purpose with that extra episode of whatever you're watching, and maybe you should think about correcting that tomorrow. But what we get to do in those mornings is to listen, look, and taste his mercy ready for the day. And yes, this side of a new body, sleep may not be very sweet every day, but what if, rather than starting the day lamenting how tired you are or longing for that second cup of coffee, what if God was interested in teaching you that in your weary days, his mercy is fresh and vibrant? That every morning is a moment to pause and align yourself to him. Weary, strong, sleeping well, not sleeping well, we all need God's mercy for the day. In fact, every time you wake up, you almost get a mini reset back to God and his love and kindness as you face the day. Of course, when you're tired, that is very hard. Get woken up at 3 or 4 or 6 with the kids, and it might take a lot of effort to be intentional. And if that's how you feel, then don't worry, you're in very good company, because in Lamentations, the author feels that way too. Look at verse 21, just before he says that. But this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. He's deliberately deciding to focus his mind on something, to be relentless in this way of thinking. And what's going to give him hope as he faces the day? Deliberately thinking and speaking of the covenantal, loyal kindness and mercy of his God. Just like your daily reminder that goes off on your phone, what he's saying to himself and what we need is the reminder that God's mercy is new, ready for you today. So what we've done in these few moments is we've seen that God doesn't sleep, and that's actually profoundly wonderful good news as you work and labor so you can trust him. We've seen that sleep and food are good gifts from God that do refresh us, as is prayer and spiritual habits. We've noticed briefly how Jesus will renew our bodies with a resurrection that is like waking up from sleep. We saw then that staying awake is important for spiritual health and habits, but falling asleep is necessary for our physical self so we can glorify God in our bodies. And no matter what the night looks like, God's mercy is there when you wake up, cheering us on each new day, every time the sun rises. So the question is, as we wrap up this three-week series and finish the year, will you live as if God is in control, or like everything depends upon you? And I reckon how you sleep and wake up is where that decision gets practiced more often than not. So in 2026, what rhythms need to change? What habits do you need to form? How do you need to view the God of mercy who's there for you every single day? Let me pray for us, and then we'll reflect on our one thing. Great God, we thank you that there are things you can't do, like sleep. Thank you that you are alert and awake, and that every morning when we wake up, it's a reminder of your mercy and grace and loyal love to us. As we reflect on the year ahead, help us to form good habits that faithfully follow you. So Lord, be with us as we turn the page to 2026 so we can glorify you in our bodies and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.